me. I know some of you didn't have a choice, but Nathan and Tina were just here. Oh, Nathan also has one of the little recorder things. So, and so does Garrett, I think. So, that makes Monday night fun. Hello. There we go. Yes. First try. But, okay. So, I was kind of hoping Pastor would do some jokes, because my jokes tonight are not the greatest.
I still better mine.
Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe. Okay, hold on. What do you call a pony with a cough? A little horse. Okay. This one, I like this one. What do you call a magic dog? A labracadabrador. All right, and then, do you all like this one? Why did the hipster burn his mouth? Because he drank the coffee before it was cool. Why did the mushroom go to the party? Because he was a fun guy. And my favorite, which I think all of you have heard, is why do seagulls fly over the sea? Why, Emma? Because they'd be called bagels. Yes, that is my favorite joke. I like that one. I like bagels too, so two of my favorite things. But, yes. So tonight I'm going to be preaching in the book of Jonah. I'm going to be in 1 Jonah, right before 2 Jonah, if you're wondering. We're going to be in Jonah, and we're kind of going to be all over Jonah tonight. It's kind of one of those things. I told Graham last time I was preaching on the prodigal son. She said, never heard that one before. It's kind of like Jonah. Never heard that message before, but it's a good one that all of us should know. So we'll read in verse number 1 and 2, and then we'll pray. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of, I always read the names wrong, Amittai, there we go, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for the stage. Just thank you so much for just the opportunity that we have to come and to preach your word. Lord, I pray that something that I say tonight would just touch the heart of somebody. Lord, just pray that people would be listening, and just pray that you just help me just to say the right things and just to do your will. I pray that I wouldn't say anything that would contradict your word or to go against the Bible, Lord. Just pray that we'd have a good night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So in these first couple of verses, I'm just going to kind of read it and then just kind of tell you what I got for it. This is kind of what I like doing. I like reading the chapter over and over again and then telling you what I got out of it. So I don't really have a whole lot of points tonight, but this is just what I got out of reading the book of Jonah. So in verses number 1 and 2, I see God's calling on Jonah. Okay? Now, God called Jonah to go tell the people of Nineveh about God's judgment on their sins. Now, Nineveh was a pretty important city back then. It was the most important city in Assyria, actually. And within 50 years of this book being written, in the time of Jonah, they were actually going to be the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, which was a really big empire. So it was a big, huge city, and it was a very powerful city. But the book of Jonah doesn't really tell a whole lot about the city and their sins and their problems that they had there. But the prophet Nahum gives us a better insight to the sinful tendencies of the Ninevite people. Okay, so they had a lot of problems with, idolatry, prostitution, witchcraft. It says that they were cruel in war and that they had evil plots against God. Doesn't sound a whole lot different from today, does it? But that's what the city of Nineveh, that's the problems that they had, okay? Now, God was calling Jonah to do that, right? And I think God is calling us to do those same things. There's evilness in our land. There's all of these things that I just read is happening in our land right now. God is calling us to do the same thing that he told Jonah to do, is to go and tell them about their wickedness. All right? It says in Mark 16:15 that we are supposed to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have the same responsibility. Okay? And although we may not be sent to a foreign land like Nathan and Tina or Garrett is going to be, we may not go over to Africa or Europe or any place, there are people here who are just as wicked as these Ninevite people. We have coworkers who are wicked. We have family members who are wicked, especially some family members. okay? Some friends, some neighbors that are all just as wicked as these Ninevite people are, and that they need to hear.
Amen.
They need to hear the message that Jonah was telling them, that their sin is going to bring them judgment and is going to bring them damnation. Now, I thought it was funny that God said in verse number 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." God said to cry against that city. Now, whenever you cry, it usually means there's something serious, unless you're kind of fickle, you just cry about everything. But here, God wanted to show the people in Nineveh that somebody cared for them. He wanted to show them that what they were doing was serious, right? He didn't want Jonah to go in there and be like, "Well, you guys are sinning, you know, but that's okay. It's all right. You can do whatever you want." No, God wanted him to proclaim that they were doing wrong.
Yeah.
He wanted them to yell and to tell them that their end was coming. Okay, so whenever we're telling the gospel to somebody, we shouldn't just be like, "Well, you know what? What you're doing is wrong, but you'll be all right in the end." No, that's not right. We should tell them that what they're doing will lead to eternity in hell. They want us, maybe you shouldn't cry it, because I think if you were to go up and cry to somebody, they'd probably think you're crazy. But still, you need to be serious, and you need to not be shy or scared about sharing the gospel with these people.
Amen.
We need to tell people that they're going to spend eternity in hell, and that's the message that Jonah was saying. That's the message that Jonah was trying to get across. And then in verses 3 and 5, we see Jonah's choice, or Jonah's decision. And we'll read in verse number 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Presence of the Lord. "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." All right, so we see that after God told Jonah what to do, what did Jonah do? He didn't say a word to anybody, right? It just says that he arose, Jonah arose up and fled, all right? So he didn't even say anything to God. He didn't talk to God about anything. He didn't pray about it. He just left. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he left, right? He then found a ship that was going to Tarshish, that's a fun word to say. He found a ship going to that place, okay, and he decided, his decision was that he was going to run from God, okay? I don't know if I guess everyone knows the story, but he didn't get very far, right? He didn't get very far at all. And whenever we're outside of God's will, whenever we're outside of what God wants us to do, we're not going to get very far.
Amen.
We're not going to get very far at all, because God wants us to do what he wants us, God wants us to do what he wants us to do, I guess. And, I think about myself here for a second. It's not a good thing, but whenever I was going to school to be a police officer, okay, I was going to school for criminal justice, and I was going to be a police officer. I was going to have a gun on my hip. I was going to have a big badge, probably on this hip, I'd say, because the gun is on this side. Okay, I was going to be able to drive a cool car. I probably wouldn't give me the coolest car, but anyways, I was going to drive a cool car and get to enforce the law. I thought that was going to be the coolest thing ever, right? I was going to be able to tell people what to do and carry a gun at the same time. I was so excited. But then, going to school, I think it was under the preaching of Todd Upshendick, I heard a message about the little, I can't remember where it was, but about the oil that never ended, the cup that they just kept using the oil. And through that, I was like, I think I'm going to be called to preach. And at first, I thought it was all in my head because I had everything planned out. I was like, no, I'm going to go to school for 3 years, then I'm going to, go to the academy, marry Joel eventually. That was in the plan, but that was going to be a long time down the road. But I had everything under control, but that's not what God wanted me to do. And I thought, if I went my way, if I did what I wanted to do, how much I would mess up my life.
Right.
Not just my life, but Joel's life, right? And we see that if we go against God, and I thought about that, if I go against God, I'm going to be doing things that God doesn't want me to do, and it's not worth it. It's not worth going outside of God's will, okay? Now, even if you never have run from a calling such as preaching, which not everyone is called to preach, believe it or not, but every day we do make a choice to follow God's will. Every day we have a split decision if we're going to do right or we're going to do wrong. Okay? Either we're going to live for God or not. And I just think about all the times that I could have witnessed to somebody or I could have passed out a track, but I just didn't for some odd reason that didn't matter. And you just start to think about those times and you think about the lives of everybody that you could have impacted, but you never did because you're either too scared or too shy are a lot of the excuses that people use. And whenever you think that you could have saved those people from a life in hell, you could have saved those people from eternal agony, what are we doing? Why are we even here? Saying no to His will is never worth it. And then in verse number 5, let's read verse number 5. Then the mariners, right? Am I saying that right? Well, thank you. Mariners, I've read it through 1,000 times. I just can't read it while people are staring at me. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So like I said earlier, his decision, or if my decision was out of God's will, it would affect Joel's life and the lives around me. So did Jonah's decision affect these sailors' lives? Okay, now I want you to think, these are probably professional sailors, right? They probably have seen their fair share of storms, been in a lot of storms, know what to do. But this storm was different. I think it says that it made them cry unto their gods. These men were scared. Why were they scared? I think it's because this was a different storm. They've never seen a storm of this magnitude because it was sent by God. God sent this storm to get a hold of Jonah, to get his attention, right? But where was Jonah at this time? Where was Jonah? It says in verse number 5, that he went down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Now how on earth, if the professional sailors were scared to death, how could you be at the bottom of the ship sleeping? Through all of this that's going on, through the sloshing this way and sloshing that way, sure. How could you sleep through that? There's no way that you could. Now this is just what I personally think. I believe that he was sleeping because he didn't have a guilty conscience. He felt like what he was doing was right. He felt like the lives of those Ninevites, didn't matter. Okay? He just didn't have a guilty conscience. Now I'm sure, I think I'm missing a part. Didn't matter. Ah, here it is. The absence of guilt does not mean that you are doing right. Isn't that true? Well, let me read that again. The absence of guilt does not mean that you are doing right. Now, I'm sure all of us have been in an argument. I get in a lot of arguments a lot of the times. And you're arguing with somebody, not maybe arguing, but just having a conversation, and you're so right. You think you're so right, okay? I do this a lot with my mom. Yeah, she's probably saying that I do that a lot. It's not on purpose. It's just we both think we're right all the time, and it just happens. But we would argue, I'd be like, looking back at pictures or something, be like, oh, you remember that time when we did this? And Mom's like, you didn't do that on that trip. I was like, yeah, we did. I was like, come on. And we'd go back and forth and back and forth. And I was so sure that I was right. And then Dad has to come in, always, and prove me wrong, right? And I was like, I didn't, what? And then it's just, you know, I wasn't right. Just because I thought I was right doesn't mean that I'm right. Okay? Because I like this. I got this somewhere and I really liked it. Because we can deny reality, we cannot measure obedience by our feelings. Because we can deny reality, we cannot measure obedience by our feelings. Okay, so this reminds me of I can't remember all the letters that are in it, the LGBTQ movement. All of those people who feel that they're a different person. You wake up feeling that you're a girl, you are a girl. That's what you are that day. You can't base your feelings on what you actually are. If God made you a man, you're a man. Just because you feel like you're a woman trapped inside a man's body doesn't make you a woman. Just sorry. Instead of doing that, we should compare what we do with God's standards for living. And we'll keep on reading in verses 6 through 9. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? arise, call upon thy God. If so, be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the seas and the dry land. So we see that the men here cast lots, or they drew straws, right? I think that's what we usually compare it to. We draw straws, and Noah had the shortest straw. Is it the shortest straw? Jonah, what did I say? Noah, Jonah. They had boats. Yep, thank you, Todd. Jonah drew the short straw, right? I think that was God helping out in that situation, just to show him that, hey, this is you. But I found it funny that whenever the sailors found out that it was Jonah, only then did Jonah admit that this was the reason. Jonah was trying to fly under the radar here, the saying, maybe if they don't know it's me, they won't get mad at me and we'll be all right. But with God, you can't hide your sins. You can't hide what you're doing to God. God knows everything. God is everywhere. But Jonah was trying to fool these sailors, right? And only whenever they knew that it was him did he admit it. I think it would just be better if we just realized that if we just come out and admit that we're wrong, how much of an impact that would have on people. How much of an impact would that have had on the sailors, right? I want to read in verse number 13. Skip down to verse number 13. So up in these verses, Jonah said to cast him into the sea. He's the reason why this is all happening. Cast me into the sea and it'll be better. But in verse number 13, I love this verse. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. After all this, after they figured out it was Jonah, after Jonah admitted to it, okay, I think I would be pretty mad. Like, really, you're causing me all this grief? You know, thanks a lot. But after these men found this out, they did everything that they could to spare Jonah from being tossed into the water. Jonah told them what they had to do, but they didn't want to do that. They had more compassion on Jonah than Jonah did for the Ninevite people. These unsaved men had more compassion for somebody that they didn't know than a saved man did for the lost. We should be ashamed if that ever happens. If a lost person ever has more compassion for others than we do, we should be so ashamed of ourselves. We're supposed to love everybody that God makes. We should love even the people who are unlovable, because God loves them. And if God loves them, so should we. And Jonah lost track of what he was doing. He lost track of what his mission was. God wants us to be concerned about all his people, lost and saved. And then we'll read in verse number 14 and 16. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hath done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. So we see in these verses that God can use even our mistakes to bring people to him. Right? He can use even our stupid decisions to bring people to know Christ. Now that's not an excuse to use, right? But we can see that God is still powerful enough to do that. When the men found out that it was because Jonah that they were in the storm, and they saw that when he was tossed overboard that the storm stopped, they had fear of God. Wouldn't that just be kind of weird? Having somebody on board and being like, you're the reason for this, and then toss him overboard and the storm just stopping. How crazy would that be? You know, I'm sure these sailors' eyes were just wide open. They couldn't believe it, but they had a fear of this God of Israel. There is a saying that you are never useless. You can always serve as a bad example. My dad always says that one to me. I don't know why, but We need to realize that everyone is watching us. Not everyone, but people are watching us, waiting for us to fall. And we're going to fall. It's not a matter, you know, if you fall, it's when you fall. Because we're humans and we're sinful people. Some of the greatest men in the Bible have fallen, right? And people see that, and people make excuses for that. Like, oh, David fell, you know? He's one of the greatest men in the Bible. Man after God's own heart. He fell, you know? But I think it's not how you fall. That's common. Falling is common, right? But it's how you pick yourself up after you have fallen. That's going to make an impact on somebody. If you fall into sin, and you keep living into that sin, you keep doing that same exact sin, it's going to wreck your life. But if you admit that you're doing wrong, and you try to get better, that's going to make other people around you respect you more. I do anyways. Whenever somebody's doing wrong, and they come and say, hey, I messed up, I did something stupid, I'm like, that took a lot more guts than it did than hiding it. That makes me respect that person so much more. Now, Jonah stopped running from God and submitted in these verses. But that didn't mean that God was going to let him off the hook. Thank you. Fish joke. God made a great fish to come and swallow Jonah up. There he would spend 3 days and three nights in that fish. But Jonah prayed inside that fish, right? Jonah prayed, and he spoke to God, and God heard him. God can hear you from anywhere that you're at. We have a direct line right to God. No matter where we're at, even in a fish's belly, we can still talk to God. But God heard him, so God told the fish to vomit Jonah up on the dry land. I try to picture that. I remember a lesson from junior church the dad was teaching. He said, now I want you to imagine the inside of a fish. And he got like this, and he was like, just imagine being inside the intestines of a fish. And I was like, oh, he's like, all the slime and stuff in it. And I don't imagine getting vomited out. All that slime and mucus and I don't even know what a fish has. Digestive stuff. Just on your body. That's a miracle in of itself. He didn't get digested for 3 days. That's pretty cool. But he was spat up. Spat up? He was spat up onto the dry ground. And there he was, like, all right, that was an experience. You know? I was just trying to picture this. But then we're going to skip down. He was spat up, right, on dry land. And then in chapter number 3, verses 1 through 2, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Here Jonah is all spat up, you know, and then God comes back again. We need to be thankful for a gracious God. He gave Jonah a second chance. He gave him a second chance to do his will. And then we see the decision that Jonah made the second time, which I think is a much wiser decision. He didn't want to get eaten by a bird or something. I don't know. But, sorry. So then we see that in verse number 3 through 4, it says, so Jonah arose, smart choice, and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now I find this, I was kind of confused. I was like, 3 days' journey? Okay, so he's got 3 days to travel there. But then it says this. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. I was like, wait a second, he was in the city. So I looked it up, and it would take 3 days to get through the city of Nineveh. And I was like, wait a second, that's a long, big old city. So he was only a day's journey into this whole ordeal that he started preaching. I'm sure he's preaching all along that. But he was only a day's journey in. And then in verse number 5, did I want to say anything? No, verse number 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now this is the result. I forgot to mention this. This is the result of Jonah's obedience. We saw the result of his disobedience, which was the storm and the fish. But this is the result of his obedience. Okay. Verse number 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let men and beasts be covered with the sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. There's that crying again. It means that you're serious, that you're really just taking to heart what is happening. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now we see here God's mercy. Oh, wait a second. The wicked, there we go. These wicked, evil people believed Jonah, and they believed God. Now I just wanted to ask, what is our excuse? If God can use one man to save an entire city, then what excuses do we have? I said this a little bit before, that we use excuses that, well, we know what they're going to say, or, you know, they're not going to listen to me, they're just going to say no. But here we have a city who lived in sin, okay? I'm guessing, Jonah actually said in later verses that he knew, God knew, or Jonah knew what he was going to do. But I'm thinking about, what would we do? We always think we know what people are going to say. We always think that people are just going to push us aside and not listen to us, right? We have no clue what situation people are in. God could be working in their lives, and we missed it. A little bit ago, I think last week actually, I was having a conversation with a coworker, and she was telling me she wasn't having a very good day, and she was just talking to me, and I was just talking to her, and she told me all the things that she went through as a child. And I just could not believe some of the things that she was saying. I just couldn't believe that somebody would go through all of that stuff and just not be the most sourest person, the most loving person. But yet, I didn't know what to say. I was speechless. And right now, I wish that I would have just told her everything just because I was nervous. I said, no, she's not going to listen. I talked to my mom about it, actually. And thinking on it now, I regret it. And I may not have another opportunity to tell her about Christ. That might have been the only opportunity where her heart was tender enough to tell me these things. But instead, I missed it. We have no clue what people are going through and what God is doing in their lives. God's message is for everyone. If we simply proclaim what we know of God, we may be surprised at how many people will listen. And then in chapter number 4, and I'm almost done already. Whew, man, flying through it. Chapter number 4, this is the attitude of Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. So God's mercy made Jonah angry. God having mercy on the people of Nineveh just turned Jonah the wrong way. Jonah still did what God wanted him to do, but he had a bad attitude about it. Now, the reason, when you're reading the book through the first time and you don't know anything about the story, the reason why Jonah ran, you might be thinking, well, he was scared, or he was, scared he might get hurt, or he might die, he might get killed. But then whenever you read on later, it reads that he knew that God was going to be gracious. He knew that God was going to forgive them. And the reason he ran wasn't because he thought that he was going to get hurt, but he thought that Israel deserves God's mercy, more than the Ninevites did. Now, Israel would not repent at this time. They didn't repent for their sins. But he did not want to see the enemy of Israel's God receive more attention. He thought his people deserved it. And this just leads me to say, who are we to decide who deserved God's mercy? Who are we to say, well, I deserve it more than you. I'm a better person than you. I deserve it. If Jonah was true to himself, he would realize that he didn't deserve God's mercy. If we're true to ourselves, we don't deserve a lick of God's mercy. God forgave Jonah for running. He forgave Jonah for turning his back on God. That's what he did. He ran. He decided to go the other way, to not listen. But God forgave him. And Jonah forgot about that. Because Jonah's getting mad for the mercy that he has, because the Ninevites have it. God freed him. God spared his life from that great fish. And he wasn't thankful for it. God gave a beautiful display of his heart and his character towards the lost. I missed this part. We forget all the times that God has forgiven us. You think about all the things that you've done. I think about all the things that I've done, and you just stay awake at night thinking about all the things you've done wrong. Right? But God has forgiven us. And God will do the same for everyone else. If God will forgive somebody, we should forgive them too. Okay. I lost where I was at. God gave a beautiful display of his heart and character towards the lost, and even Jonah in the story. Jonah had not learned what God was trying to teach him. Even after God gave him a great victory in that city, Jonah's heart was still selfish and lazy. Our problem today is not necessarily trials and persecutions, which some of us do face those trials. Pastors, family wouldn't talk to them, and things like that. But most of us today don't have to face problems like that. The problem that we're facing is fighting our own flesh. It's fighting our own wickedness. The reason that we do not obey God is because we are consumed with pleasing ourselves rather than God. Are our thoughts on carrying out God's mercy and sharing his forgiveness with others, or are we too busy receiving his grace for ourselves? We need to obey God's word. We need to obey God's will. And the only way that you're going to know what his will is if you're in his word. If you're reading his Bible and searching what he wants us to do. It's all in here. We just need to read it. And we need to share this book just as Jonah did. We need to proclaim it. We need to tell others that their destination is hell. And that they will spend eternity there if they don't accept Christ as their Savior. So, well, we're going to stand with me if you